I can throw more on her. It's not enough. Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. Give you a second to get there. Man, Christmas time, 29 years of Christmas messages. And buddy, I'm always trying to look for something new, you know, a new way to look at the verses. We don't have as many verses. We don't have 29 Christmas texts stories, you know, to tell. But there's always something that we find in the Word of God. And the Bible says in Isaiah 9:6, and it's familiar to us, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Heavenly Father, now we come to you. We thank you for the singing that we've had, our fellowship time, having fun with our sweaters this morning, Lord. Now as we look to your word, I pray we focus in on you and what you have for us this morning. And we just want to be thankful people, Lord. We do want to come into your presence, Lord, with thanksgiving and praise. And help us now as we look to your word. Encourage us, Lord. And it's always my prayer, if there's somebody here that doesn't know you, what a day to receive the perfect gift, the best gift that's ever been given to us, and that is Jesus, your Son. We're thankful for that, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Titled this, The Gift, and you know, we always talk about this. Christmas, Sherry and I were talking. She said, "Man, it's getting here in a hurry." I said, "Well, no, it's been a whole year. It takes a whole year to get here." But, you know, you try to get ready. You get down to the end. It comes on fast. Man, we've done everything. It seems like now when I get the lights, I hang the lights on the house every year. It seems like I just did it. I got it done. Hopefully, I went out. I went to Walmart yesterday, you know, so it's Saturday before Christmas. I thought, well, I'll go later in the afternoon. Maybe everybody will be done. No, they were not. I was parked out in the parking lot at the way out there, which I like to do that anyway. I don't want, if I'm in my truck, I don't want somebody beating a fire out of it with a door. Way out there, and man, it was a zoo. I went over to Lowe's, wasn't too bad. Lowe's, you could cruise around. You could have done all my shopping at Lowe's, but it was, you know, it's going to be, and tomorrow's not going to be any better. Trust me, it's hectic. A lot of interstate traffic, people traveling, and we got lights and trees and stockings and reindeer, Santa Claus, elves, all those things, and snowmen. We've got all that, and then buying gifts. Hopefully, you got all your shopping done. Hallelujah, I'm done with that. That was a hallelujah. I could have sang along with the ladies on the song about that. Now, with all that, you know, some people may wonder, and maybe, you know, like, what is Christmas all about? Some people, you know, there's people that really don't know. They don't know that because everything's been taken out. It's secularized quite a bit with all the other things that I mentioned. And I'm not so legalistic that I have a problem with some of the other things that we do that go along with it. It's part of it for me. Some things can get way out there. And, you know, some people, you know, there's people that don't like Christmas. I love Christmas time. Man, I'm a sad puppy, man, when it's over with. I mean, all the buildup, I love it. I love everything we have coming. Man, our candlelight service, I love that night. Christmas Eve at my house, Christmas morning, family and all that. It's a great day. And I just love it. And then the first of the year's coming. And, you know, there's a little letdown, I guess, because of the buildup. But, you know, God knows all about where your head's at, your heart's at with it. So we always ask to see, you know, you hear this question asked, and I think people preach on it. I might even preach on it. But, you know, what's the reason for the season? Is it all about Jesus or is it all about us? Well, in a real sense, I know it is about Jesus, but it's also about us. It's about us. I'll show you in just a minute. Look what the text said. Chapter 9, "For unto us a child is born. For unto us a son is given." Is it about us or is it about Christ? We're celebrating, but there's two points of view. There's God's point of view and there's our point of view. And from God's point of view, it's about us. It's about us. And to us, a son is given. You know, even when you think about with our own family, it's about the kid. When we give our kids gifts, is it about us or is it about the kids? It's about the kids, right? God gave us a gift. God gave us a gift. That's the thing I see differently. I start seeing that. And to us, a child is born. That speaks about his humanity because of that word born. That's talking about he came in a halfway natural way. It came through a virgin, a woman. And then unto us a child is given. That speaks about his divinity side of things because God gave us that gift. And so in the text that we read right there, there's three things that we can see for sure that I want to use on for my outline points. Number one is the giver of the gift. The two is the receiver of the gift. And the third thing is the gift itself, or more correctly, the gift himself, the gift that God gave. So the very first thing is, I want to start with that, the gift itself. You know, there's a lot of dumb sayings that go along with Christmas that I thought about over the years. This is one of them. It's not about the gifts. Amen. Oh, yes, it is. It is about the gifts. It's about the gift, the greatest gift that was ever given. It's all about the gift that God gave us. It's about him. And that gift. And you know, we always try to, I don't know about you guys, but how many of you struggle trying to find, there's somebody you're going to buy a gift for and you don't know what to get them? Isn't that sometimes? My grandson, man, you know, Damien, when I was Damien's age, hey, you ask me what I want for Christmas, you know, throw the list out there that long, you know, here's the list, here's what I want. You know, Damien, man, every year, he's always been this way. What do you want for Christmas? I don't know. I get on him all. I said, all right, I'll tell you what you're going to get. Nothing. Because you don't know, I don't know. I said, you know, I'm going to, one of these years, I never have done that. Maybe I did it this year. I don't know. What do you want? I don't know. He doesn't know what he wants. And a lot of times, you know what? We get a lot of things for Christmas sometimes, maybe not a lot of things. You get some things that you don't really need them. I'm kind of one of them people that I don't really want something I need. I want something I want. You know, they say, well, you don't need that. That's all right. It's like, you know, saying, well, oh, I'm going to get another gun. We don't need another gun. I just want one. You know, we just want these things, right? We want them. And that's okay. I like getting those things. And it's okay to get something that you need, too. But at the same time, boy, if you get what you want and what you need when they go together, man, now that's a perfect gift right there, right? I mean, with something you need and something that you want, that's really what we need. And when that want and need come together. Now, God didn't sit around thinking, gee, I wonder what I'm going to give these people down there. I wonder what I'm going to give them. He didn't think about that. He didn't have to worry about it. God knows exactly what you and I need. As collectively and individually, he knows those things. And a lot of people don't know what they need. You know, a lot of people just don't know what they need. Now, they know what they want. But listen, here's the thing. God's gift met both need and want. They met them. And I'll tell you in a minute about meeting that want thing, because a lot of times I'll say people don't know what they want, but really what they want, God met that too, because I know what way down inside what people want, basic things. Now, the background on where this text came out in the middle of Isaiah. I know I just read you one text. I'm right in the middle of it and what the background is. And if you come here on Wednesday night, we're studying through Ezekiel. Man, Ezekiel's like, that's a long book, and it's a deep thing, and it has to do with judgment. But for you guys that's here on Wednesday night, where this falls into that is this text came out before Judah went into the Babylonian captivity. But the Babylonian captivity was an impending thing. They knew they were probably going into captivity. They were about to be invaded by the Assyrians, and they kind of had an idea that was coming. So needless to say, it was a dark time nationally. It was a dark day. There was fearful days. People were afraid. Death was kind of hanging over their heads. Or if not death, at least captivity. Going into captivity, I mean, you just have to use your imagination what all that was going to entail. You're going to be carried away to another country. You're going to be a slave. And there was a whole lot of things that went along with that. It wasn't looking good. It was a dark time. Now, when Jesus was finally born, there had been a 400-year period or so where the prophets hadn't been speaking and nobody had heard from God. Later on, before Jesus' birth. So it was a dark time spiritually. Nobody knew, thus saith the Lord, because God hadn't said anything. And so why God did that on purpose, to make it dark on purpose, because the light is the brightest when we've been in the dark. And he got them in the dark, and they were in the dark spiritually, and they were in the dark politically as well, because they were not running their own country, even though they had some freedoms, the Jews didn't. And so when Jesus came, he came during a dark time. Now God knew, God planned all this. He knew what the perfect gift was, and that perfect gift was going to be himself. And come and walk among us. Emmanuel, I think we talked about it last week. Emmanuel, God with us. I mean, God with us. And, you know, and so we understand it today a lot greater than they did, because if you're saved today, you've got the Holy Spirit of God in you. You got God dwelling in you now. God is not, he isn't with me. I don't have to ask him to be with me. He's in me. God is in me. And so it's that. But God knew this. This was going to be the perfect gift, the needed gift, and the wanted gift, himself. Even though they didn't know what that was. But listen, what does everybody want? Look what God gives. I mean, the peace that passes all understanding. People want that. They want love, right? And so God knows that. Everybody wants, you know, everybody, if they say they don't want what they want for Christmas, they know they would like to have peace in their life. They know they would like to have love in their life. They know they would like to have joy in their life. Isn't that why? I mean, isn't that why we do a whole lot of stupid stuff? You know that old saying, anytime, you know how something stupid's going to happen when somebody says, hey, watch this. Get the camera out, right? Something stupid's about to happen. Why do we do that? Because we want to have fun. It's fun breaking your leg going down the hill. I did that one time. I got on a hill one time at my grandfather's house. They had an overpass ramp, and they built that big dirt bank for the overpass to go up. And back when we had them old big bicycles, my buddy had a big bicycle with a basket on the front because he was a paper boy. I got up on they had these little paths that came down. I got to the highest one, no shirt on, shorts, no shoes. Watch this. Huh? And I started down over the side of that thing, and my foot flew off the pedal and went into the spokes. Needless to say, that stopped the wheel, and then the bike did a whole flip over the thing like that, and I crashed all down, banged up, and had a lot of scabs and beat up, you know. They didn't have cell phones back in those days, or I'd have been on Facebook, right? Watch this. Why do we do that? Because we want to have fun. So what does man want? Man wants peace. He wants to be at peace and not have strife. We want joy. God says, listen, it's all within me. I'm going to give you the greatest gift, what you really want. I'm going to give you. And so a lot of people think it doesn't matter whether they can be an atheist. They still want peace. I think atheists still want to be loved. They want love. They still want joy. May not want to ride a bicycle down over the side of a hill to get it, but they want joy. They want all those things, love, joy, peace, man, all those things. Just everything that God has. So God knows. So really, people that say they don't want God, really God is what they want, but they don't realize God is the answer to what they want, and so they're not looking for God. You know, this is what they want. This is why we do all these things, a lot of things we want, you know, that have to do with that. So God knew it. And so in Jesus, all that hope, everybody wants to have hope, right? We've got to have hope. And outlook. What do we want to do? Everybody wants to live eternally. We want to live forever. Jesus said, okay. Here I am, eternal life. If you put your faith and trust in me. Man without Christ, they've been looking for Shangri-La and some kind of magic fountain of youth. That's what it is. The fountain of youth. You know, we drink that water, get in that water, and I'm just going to live forever. Jesus said, listen, just believe in me. Trust me. God says, I'm going to give you Jesus. You can have eternal life. Man, everybody, huh? Amen. Everybody, I mean, we want to live forever. It's all deliverance from everything. We want guilt taken away. We want our conscience clear. Only Christ can do it. I mean, all these things. He's called the unspeakable gift in 2 Corinthians 9:15. Unspeakable because I can't exhaust everything that having Christ entails. I can't do it. How many of you ever got a gift? Like a lot of people, we got cell phones, and most of us don't know half of what the cell phone can do. Huh? I just found out Damien was up there. He's you know, these young people, they got all this stuff down. He said, hey, you can talk to this thing. Push this button right here. And we had this thing. We didn't know what it was. And I said, my dad had it. I didn't know what it was. It wasn't super old and all that. So you take a picture of it, and the AI thing said, it's a cork sizer. It sized corks to put in bottles. Never knew what it was. I got little mechanical toys that my great uncle had a mechanical toy collection from the time that he was a kid. He was really old and lived a long time. He had these ones, and he had some really old ones. And then my parents liked the idea of my mom. And then I got his collection. So I had Pluto. Everybody knows. You young people don't know. Older people know who Pluto is. Walt Disney. He's on a little bicycle thing. You wind him up. You put him on there. He's not beat up. He's not scratched up or nothing. I took a picture up with that thing. I said, what am I looking at? It says, you're looking at Pluto, name the company that it's made and all that. And it said, anything else you want to know about it? I said, how much is it worth? It said between $250 and $500 if it's not beat up and not, you know, that. Well, this one didn't beat up. I said, I'm going to set this over here where nothing happens to it. I got another one. The very first one he got is like a baby crawling. I want to take a picture of that. I was trying to do it for somebody the other day, and I couldn't get this stupid thing to work. But anyway, it's these unspeakable gift that God has given to us. It's, you know, what can we say? At first glance, it seems small. A baby. I was watching when they were singing. Carrie had her little one up there, and I was looking up there, and she's looking around. Maybe she'll be a singer when she gets bigger. But she started doing a little singing just a minute ago, but it looks like she's my preaching has had its effect. She has fallen asleep. But, you know, it seems small, but it was of infinite worth. You can't tell the size of it. The Bible says there, his name shall be Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Those are all the things that you want. That's what you want. Wonderful. The wonder of Christmas. I think it's amazing. I was telling this morning, isn't it amazing that Santa Claus and Jesus were born on the same day? Santa Claus came on the same day? That's a joke. Y'all get it on. The wonder of Christmas. You can't exhaust it. You sit around thinking about that day, the birth of Christ, and the world not knowing what that meant. There was a lot of things that hadn't yet taken place. Jesus lived his life, go to the cross, die, resurrect. The wonder of Christmas. The counselor, there's the wisdom of Christmas. Counselor, somebody that you can talk to about everything. The wisdom of the Word of God, every solution, every problem, everything in that you need to know really is covered somehow, some way in the Word of God, what we need for life. And then the Mighty God, that just speaks of deity. The Mighty God, I shared this with y'all before when I got to speak to the kids at Charlie's school. I was trying to illustrate the greatness of God. So I used the Hubble telescope pictures, and I gave them the definition of a light year and how many million or billion light years away something was. Boy, and it's like, man, you can't get your head around it. I can't get my head around a light year because I can't go. I can't get my head around that much space, that distance. And it's like, and God is greater than that. So I was trying to get them to have an idea of the bigness in the physical sense of God. Of course, he's far greater than just his size, but he's an infinite God, the Mighty God. The Everlasting Father speaks of deity, but it also speaks of eternity. Back to our point, what does everybody want? We want to live forever. That's why these gyms are making a killing, man. Come on down there and work out and take all these pills, man. You can take this pill and that pill, and Mary Kay's making a killing. You know, I was at the mall the other day. I went down there and a guy, one of his foreign-sounding accent, hey, come in here, man. You're a good-looking guy, but I can make you look better. I said, I doubt it, man. You probably. But anyway, and he took that stuff, ladies. You know what I'm talking about? He take that stuff, and he said, you got a few wrinkles around your head. So he puts it on one eye, right? I thought he was going to leave me hanging. He put it on one eye, and boy, you're right, all the little crow's feet and everything from laughing all the time like that, they were all gone. It was smoothed out, man, need to look. And I said, now what are you going to do? I got to buy the thing to fix the other eye. No, he goes, I'm going to fix it for you. He put it on there. He wanted, only $300, huh? I said, how long is it going to keep my wrinkles out? He said, about 6 hours. I said, how long is that going to last? About a year, huh? But you know what? They got other stuff, Plaxiderm, they advertise it on TV. Mary Kay's got some. It's cheaper than $300. I knew he was doing it. But what is it? Make yourself look younger. You can, but you're not any younger. Huh? You know, huh? You get makeup, boy, they can airbrush you, man. They can airbrush you, make you look good. Now we got those the technology, you take a picture of yourself. Huh? Y'all ain't fooling anybody. Huh? Y'all put them pictures on Facebook and say, good night. Huh? They go, oh, wow, looks, boy, she looks good. She don't look that good. Huh? They look good. We can make ourselves look good, right? I mean, we got it. But this, why do we want? Because we want to live forever. We want to stay young forever. Jesus said, great. Just accept me. Accept this gift that I'm giving you, eternal life. Hey, and guess what? Well, I don't want to live eternally in the body I got. Well, he's going to give you a new one. Huh? You're going to get another gift, the gift that keeps on giving. You're going to get in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye one day, we're going to be changed. We're going to have a new body. Hallelujah. There's a hallelujah to that, right? There's a praise. Huh? We're looking for praises this morning. We're going to get a new body one day. Thank God for that. Somebody said, well, so-and-so, they didn't come because they had pain. Man, if I had to wait till I didn't have pain to come to church, I'd never be here. Huh? I mean, we always got pain, right? And so here we go. And so here it is. The Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. If there's no use having an Everlasting Father if you're not going to have everlasting life. So that tells us that, what we want. The Prince of Peace, we all want that. We want peace. We need peace. So we have hope, light, love, life, everything that Jesus has. What a gift. You're not going to get anything that's got all this covered like this Christmas or any Christmas other than the first Christmas. So we all want it. We need it. In Jesus, we can all have it. Now, with some of the gifts we got over the years, I got something one time. I know to this day, I don't know what it is. It was some kind of strap-looking thing. It kind of looked like suspenders, but they weren't suspenders. I had them when Sherry and I met. I said, look at this. What is it? I don't know. We never knew. One of my grandmothers gave it. It seems to be losing a marble or something at that time, but I don't know what it was. She don't know what it was. I don't know what it was. We get gifts like that. We don't know what. Or what I was going to say about it. I got sidetracked. On the technology thing, we get these technological things. We got things on our phone. We don't even know what all it does. And you might get some other gifts. We don't know what all they do. I just figured out it took me. I had my truck about 3 years, and I figured out I could push a button up there on the ceiling, and the tailgate would go down. It won't come up. I got to get out and put it up. But you push it to go down. Just found that out. Stuff in there, I don't even know what it does. We get stuff like that. That's where I was going with that. I'll tell you what, with Jesus, listen, man, when you get Jesus, you think you never figure him all out. You're never going to know everything you can know about God. You can know Greek, Aramaic, Hebrew, study it all, know all the tense, the contents, the past tense, the pretense, everything. You can know it all, and you're still not going to exhaust this book. You're never going to exhaust it. You'll never know everything there is to know about God. The Bible says about its own self, as a matter of fact, that everything that could be written about Jesus that could be written, everything would have been written. The world couldn't contain the books. The whole world couldn't contain the books. So you're never going to exhaust it. You're never going to know everything there is to know about you. I got it all down. I got it figured out. I know everything. I don't need to go to Sunday school no more. I don't need to go to church no more. I don't need to go read my Bible no more. Done read it through 5, 6 times. I don't know how many times I've read the Bible. I still see stuff every day that I never noticed before. And I'll bring it up to Sherry and say, man, I never noticed this before when I was looking at it. But we've had gifts and we played with them and we moved on. They wore out. They broke. We got bored with them. We outgrew them. Never going to happen with Jesus. Never get bored with them. Never going to break. Huh? Never going to outgrow him. Huh? Oh, this gift, man, it just keeps on going. The wonder's still there. The wonder's still there. So if we just keep looking at him and looking at the thing, just like the other things we may have that we don't know what all it'll do, that's the way it is with Jesus. The only way to find out is keep looking and keep looking. So we have the gift, we have the giver. And I mentioned earlier all the extras and everything, and we don't know where all that started. But I do know how giving gifts started. You know, that's a great way to express or celebrate what God has done. Now, we'll never give a gift like God gave, but we can give, you know, you could give some things. Hey, you could give somebody this right here, the Word of God. What a gift to get the Word of God, huh? I mean, I have given those away, given them for Christmas, and we've got the Word of God, but that's a great way. Now, the gift, when you think about a gift, the gift tells us as much about the giver as anything. Somebody that's wealthy could give a more expensive gift, couldn't they? I knew a man one time. I was in his wedding when I was a little boy. I was a ring bearer, and then they got married and they had a daughter, and I was a little older than her, obviously, but she grew up and she had a boyfriend, had the dough, and at Christmas time he gave her father a Rolex watch for Christmas. Nice one. Huh? Needless to say, you know, everybody else's gift was kind of, but he could afford it. See, he was given out of his abundance of, you know, what he had. It tells us a lot. The wealthier the giver, the more expensive the gift. But the Bible says that God gave his only begotten son. Who's going to do that? How you even put a price on that? You can't do that. And why? Why did God do it? Was it about him or about us? It was about us. It was about us. The only sacrifice that would satisfy the holiness of God was Jesus. He was the only gift, the only sacrifice that would answer the demands of the law, what the law said. And then, and listen, man, I could talk for the rest of the year on that. I'd never exhaust that topic right there, meeting the demands of the law of a holy God. You'd never get done. But it shows God's love. It shows the love of the giver. Isn't that what we're trying to do, that we try to do? You show somebody that they love them, and if you don't like them too much, they get a cookie. Huh? If you like them a little bit more, they get, you know. I told you, my daughter, I kept telling her, she said, what do you want for, I was kidding around, what do you want for Christmas? I said, well, one of two things, either I want a Corvette or a 100-acre farm would be real nice. I got a Corvette, it was about that long, blue, still got it. Still got it. Yeah. Well, I didn't specify the size. But why do you give gifts? And usually, you know, the more you want to give more, you know, sometimes we spend more than we probably should, don't we, on giving gifts? And we give our kids or spouse, whatever, we get them something nice. Because why? Because we're showing love. And so, but God gave his only begotten son. Why? Because he loves you. He loves you. I mean, he does love us collectively, but I'm trying to get the point across individually. Every single person here, he loves you. If you were the only person in the world, he would love you. He does love you. Still loves you. So from God's point of view, Christmas is about us. Amen. It's about us. That's what God was doing. You know, we tell the kids, the gift of God shows us his, not only his love, but it shows us his grace. And we tell the kids, you better be good. You're not going to get nothing for Christmas. Now, how many of us told a lie right there? Huh? Because they wasn't good. Not all the time, right? And did we get them something for Christmas? We still did. Why? Because we love them. Because we love them. Huh? We didn't give them what they deserved, did they? Do we? Lump of coal. I think Kyle got a lump of coal for somebody one time. Who'd you do that for? Damien? He got him a lump of coal. Said he was going to get him a lump of coal and a bunch of switches. Damien, who don't know what he wants for Christmas, he got a lump of coal. So. Brianna, maybe. I don't remember which one. But we tell them, you know, hey, if you're not good, but we give them to them anyway, and that's what God did, not what we deserve. We didn't get what we deserve, no. While we were yet sinners, the Bible said Christ died for us. God doesn't give us what we deserve, and we can be thankful. There's a praise right there, right? Amen. Thank God he doesn't give us what we deserve. Huh? We got to think. If you're all struggling next week, when y'all take notes now, next week when we say, hey, what do we got to praise? Say, thank God he doesn't give me what we deserve. Thank God for that, right? Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Huh? Unmerited favor from God. You can't work your way to heaven. You can't be good enough to go to heaven. You can trust Jesus. You can accept the gift that God gave, and you can have eternal life. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so that's another great verse. So God gives shows us his purpose, and that is to redeem us to himself, to give us himself, to give us eternal life. This is the gift that keeps on giving, a home in heaven, deliver us from the penalty and the power of sin. Man, what a gift that God gave. And then the last one, I'll hurry up. I know we're probably a little bit past time. I don't know if we're running. I'm not running a stopwatch on my message, though. When do I get done? When I'm done, I get done. The giftee, the third thing, the giftee, the one who receives the gift. The gift also tells us a lot about ourselves. Now, don't miss this point. The gift also tells us about ourselves. God tests it. The gift tests our reaction. It tests our reaction. Have you ever given something to somebody, you was all excited about it, and you thought, man, this is going to be great. They're really going to love it. And they kind of, that what a letdown that is, isn't it? I said, I think on the Christmas play night, you give somebody a gift, and if they didn't ever open it or never receive it, wouldn't that hurt your feelings? That would break your heart if they never looked at the gift, never opened the gift. It's the same thing with God. Do we see our need for the gift that God gave? A lot of people don't see it. They really want what he has, but they don't understand it. And then also, do we see the cost, the price, what it really cost? Do we understand all of what the gift provides for us? A lot of people don't understand that. If you just make somebody understand it, make somebody see it. Salvation, reconciliation back to God, the new life that God gives. Man alive. A new outlook on life, a new thought about life. Everything's new. All things have become new. The adoption, we're adopted as children of God. That's a significant thing. The Bible speaks about adoption. Adoption's better than natural born in a way. In Jewish economy, a natural born son could be disowned. In other words, you didn't have to give him an inheritance. But if you adopted a son, you had to give him the inheritance no matter what he did. You had to give him the inheritance. It was against, it was against the law not to. So we're under the adoption. And then that eternal inheritance. So what God gave us is the ultimate gift. It's the greatest gift of all. We'll never get anything to top it. It just kind of represents giving and love. It does picture love. And the question is, in closing, have you ever received the gift that God has given? Have you ever received that gift? God gives it, but it's just like this Christmas. There's going to be gifts, but you got to open the gift. You got to open the package. You got to receive the gift. You can't just say, "Hey, I'm not going to open the gift." I don't know about you, man, but when I'm looking under the tree, I'm like old Ralphie in Christmas Story. I'm digging around, making sure we got them all. When I was a little kid, one time, all the gifts were open. It was like late in the day, and I had so much stuff. My parents probably spoiled me. I had paper everywhere. And I looked back in the back, there was one I hadn't opened. It was probably a pair of socks, but it was a gift in there I hadn't opened. And late in the day, I said, "Man, look, there's one right there." Have you received this gift? How do you receive it? Calling on Jesus' name. Say, "Lord, I just need you." If you don't want to get real plain English, it doesn't have to be fancy words. "Lord, I need you. I just need you. I need that gift. I need to receive that gift. I need forgiveness of my sin. I'm not good enough to go." We know it. We have a conscience telling us we're not. Surrender your life to him. We had a thing. This is my last little point. We had a thing in school. How many of y'all remember? And what we do on Christmas Day, we still do it. What are you going to do? What do we call it? We're going to exchange gifts. We all sit around and everybody gets a gift passed out. And then you open it. And when we went in school, they did the Pollyanna thing. You drew somebody's name. Remember that? And then somebody drew your name. And you exchange gifts. They gave you something. And then you give them something. Well, God has given you a gift. Now, what have you given him? What could you give God that would measure up to what he gave you? Well, there's something he thinks differently.
Give him your life.
Give him your life. Give him your soul. He wants your heart. He wants your soul. He wants your life. Now, I'm not saying that measures up, but it's the greatest thing that we could give God is give him our life. Amen. And say, "God, you gave me your son. You gave me your life, really. I'm going to give you my life." Have you ever done? What a Christmas. What a time to do that. Come on up here, William. We're going to do the invitation, buddy. And what a time to do that. Boy, we've had people saved.